Chairman Brad.
Chairman Brad Holton, I'll bring the meeting to order. We have 11 o'clock agenda item, and it's for a meeting with the city of Nampa to hear a summary of Nampa's drain recharge and floodwater storage study. So with that, I'll hand it over to Tom, and you guys take it away.
All right, thanks, Chairman and Commissioner. I'm Tom Point, Senior Public Works Director, and this is John Spencer, our Water Resource Director at Nampa. So we talked to you a little briefly about this project, and we've completed the report. HCR completed the report for us about the drain recharge and flood water study. As a reminder, this was a grant that was given to us by the Idaho Water Resource Board. Nampa funded a small portion of it, of this on our own, but it's not just for Nampa, it's for the entire valley. And that's why we're here today. I want to talk to you about the conclusions and some of the projects, and then maybe collect some ideas from you on future projects. So we are going to talk to both counties. We've got Ada County on the agenda coming up here shortly, and then we've been talking to every city in the Treasure Valley about this as well. And every time we talk to these groups, they come up with different ideas on spots to be recharged, which is great because we want to collect those ideas and then put them into our matrix and look at the return on investment on each of them. Some of these projects are going to generate a lot of water savings for us and then for not a lot of cost. So there's one that in your area in 15 Mile Drain specifically, I think you'll find very interesting. So with that, and then also the Idaho Water Resource Board was very specific in their grant application to us that we make sure that we're doing some very good communication and outreach. We're not deciding all of this in a vacuum. We are talking to everybody, so that's another reason we're here.
Okay.
We want to develop our partnerships, and it's been a very interesting project to kick off. I've told John this several times. I'm not sure this is a good idea. This is going to be a water fight, and I don't know if we want to do this, but it was super good, well received, and the irrigation districts have been very, very receptive to hearing about this. So,
good.
And then we've also, the city of Nampa and several other cities are also members of the Treasure Valley Water Users Association, which has all of the irrigation districts except for one as members. So they've heard this and also have been in cooperation. So we're excited about it for sure. And so we're here to talk about what we've found out. And we're trying to be proactive. We know that we're continuing to grow. Our deep groundwater is relatively stable for the most part in this valley, except for a few locations around south of Lake Lowell over by Micron. And then there's some spots starting to happen over in Eagle. But it's kind of like a bowl. So you're at the fringes of your aquifer is where you're going to find your issues with water decline. But we're in pretty good shape on drinking water, which is about 250 feet down. So what we're talking about today is mainly about surface water. And so we want to maximize what we can do with surface water because we don't want to be pulling groundwater to do irrigation. Irrigation takes up five times the amount of water that it does on a domestic system. And we know that from all the data. So it's to keep our aquifer intact, we need to come up with solutions for us to be able to irrigate throughout the season. On top of it, you've probably heard from our Boise River Water Master about the declining drain flows specifically in this area. It was a couple years ago, Boise River Water went down below the base flow at 250 CFS for a short duration. And so why that matters is because there's a lot of irrigation districts, or not a lot, there's probably three or four, that pull water downstream of Caldwell. The water goes out in upper Boise area into the canal system, and then it ends up in the drains, which returns back to the Boise River around Caldwell. And then downstream of Caldwell is where there's three or four irrigation districts that divert water out of that. And so they rely on that drain water to be able to provide it to their patrons. And it turns out that those irrigation districts have the most senior water rights in the valley, which means that they get their water first. So we need to be making sure that they're held whole downstream so we don't get curtailed. So that's why it's important to us, and it's all interconnected. And then the last one is conjunction management. We don't want the state to come in and tell us what to do. We saw that happen over in eastern Idaho, and it was very painful. We've talked to some of my coworkers over in Idaho Falls, Pocatello, and Rexburg. It's just, it was not fun. So we don't want to, we wanted to take care of this before it becomes an issue. And where there's some tools that we can get in place. Some of these projects, they take a long, quite a while to get up and running. So we want to start this now and make sure that we have a good system in place so we can have mitigation projects for future developments and be able to maintain what we need to do irrigation. So like I said, I'm trying to be proactive. Came up with several solutions. Again, I talked about this. This has been a regional partnership project, and this has gone super, super well. Again, aquifer resilience. We talked about the trying to keep our drinking water and not for irrigation. That's a trend we want to continue. It's actually an Idaho code as well that we have to use our surface water to the maximum extent possible. That was a new code that happened a couple years ago. And then we also know that, anything that happens upstream has a downstream effect. And like I said, we need to make sure our downstream water users are held whole because of their water rights. So we looked at what's available for water. There's not much in the Boise River. So there's a little bit between Middleton and Parma. You can get a water right for still that's not accounted for. But that's not, for the most part, that doesn't help most of us. Entities here and upstream of that, it's just too far downstream. So we looked at what water is available, and it's the flood flows that are released every year. It's the Boise River, it increases up to generally around 6,500 CFS, for a few months there while they're trying to, while they're releasing the flood flows. And 7 out of 10 years, we've got that water, and that's a significant amount. And over, on average, over 100,000 acre feet. Up to 700,000 acre feet of water. It's a lot of water. We won't be able to use all of it, but let's just try to tap into what we can. To put that number in perspective, all three reservoirs above us on the Boise River drainage is 1 million acre feet. So we almost have at least half of that flowing out of our system. So we're trying to capture it, put it somewhere in the valley and do some groundwater recharge and reuse it for later when we need to extend the irrigation system. A couple of potential projects that might impact this is Anderson Dam Raise, Cat Creek Energy Project. Anderson Dam Raise is gonna, as long as the water is there every year to be able to collect it, it could be up to 30,000 acre feet of additional storage a year. So. Like I said, we've been meeting lots of customers and partners on this. Here's a list. Water District 63 is super supportive of this effort. And that's, they've done their drain study in phases. Phase one was identifying the data. Phase two is analyzing the data. And phase three is kind of what we're jumping into is what kind of projects can we do to fix the drain flows.
So in District 3, how far downstream does it go? Does it end north of Caldwell on the Boise River, or does it go to the... Yeah.
So that's they're the arm of the Idaho Water Resource Board, so that's the water master. So they have the entire system all the way up to Prairie or farther. But anything that touches the Boise River, that they monitor that. And they're, so Dan Holyoke, he's a water master. He's in Star City Hall, actually. And his job is to look at all the senior water rights and then ask the irrigation districts how much water they each of them want and then balance that out versus the river flow and storage in the reservoir. So that he's, it's a very complex job. I wouldn't want to have his job, but he does a great job doing it. Does that answer that question?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. What's great about our valley is we've got lots of canals, we've got lots of drains, we've got lots of creeks, and so we can pretty much use existing plumbing to get this water anywhere that we can envision it should go, that may be the best benefit using these systems. The canals will cross a lot of the creeks, like these ones here, and drains, and they spill into each other, so we're able to move water around from a canal to a creek to get to wherever we would like it to go. So, you know, provided that the irrigation entity is amenable to it and we can work out those details. Also note that we're really trying to focus at this time at using existing infrastructure and not build some very expensive pipelines. I mean, that may be in our future 50 years from now, or we need to look at doing a pipeline out of the Snake River into the Boise River area, or pay it to the Boise, or taking water from Parma and pumping it back up here into Canyon County and Ada County. That's probably in our future at some point, but it's just not yet. These are intermediate projects that we can start doing now that are a lot less cost. You know, instead of a $200 million pipeline, we're looking at a $2 million project to do storage. So it's much, much more economical. Another reason to, on that point, into the future is that this is important to do now because we can, if we start, eventually we're all going to be urbanized and we'll have to lose all opportunities to put water to do surface storage. And so if you look at the New York Canal, for example, up in Ada County, like February area, that used to be farm ground. Now look at it, there's nowhere you can put anything. So we still have some opportunities around some of these facilities to plan out where we could put these. And, you know, us as public agencies, we can be thinking about future parks, existing parks. Land use agencies can be thinking about developments that come in that, you know, say you have a 100-acre development come in and they need open space. In Nampa, they need 15% open space, so that would be 15 acres. They could build a 15-acre pond, put a trail around it, and it qualifies as open space. You can get the developer to build it. And then we can work out with the irrigation districts a way to maintain these. So there's a lot of grants for these. So the 15-mile project we're going to get to in a minute, for example, the Idaho Water Resource Board was out there with John and I were there. And then the Water Master, they were looking at that project and were anxious to try to give some grants to fund it. The biggest challenge that they had is who's going to maintain it and how you pay to maintain it. So that's some of the things that John and I are working out right now, is to figure out funding, be able to give to the irrigation districts to be able to put into interest-bearing account to pay people to maintain it and whatever operations they need. So we've got the grants to build it. And then we've also come up, there's a lot of these projects also have a water quality element to it. So you can take those volumetric benefits. If your 15 Mile Creek, for example, if you've been over there, it turns the Boise River murky because it's so dirty and then it's so sediment laden. You can, if you get that, remove some of that sediment and phosphorus and nitrogen, that's actually a volumetric benefit that you can market to Fortune 500 companies and they'll buy into that because they have water goals that they meet. So those donated monies, they're very flexible. There's not tied, you have to have 10 years of like monitoring to make sure you're doing what you're saying to do, and that's it. But we can use those monies to like put in the interest bearing account, like I said, to help fund some of the maintenance of these facilities. So that's kind of the plan that we're trying to get together. And we're doing the same strategy on our Nampa Water Garden wetland that we've been talking to you about as well. We still have some volumetric credits that we're trying to market to get that project paid for. So we just need to follow that blueprint. It should work fine. So another thing that the Water Resource Board, over the past 10, 15 years, they had done several different studies. One of them was about actually where's a good place to do recharge. So this is a heat map. The green is good. Darker is not good. It's just a function of the depth, the surface to the shallow groundwater, how much space is there. So things around Indian Creek, Mason Creek, and the Boise River are not the best because there's very shallow groundwater there. So a lot of the good spots are up on the bench, you know, over by Micron, over by Hubbard Reservoir. It's a good one over in Cuna area. That's right below the New York Canal. And it's a very leaky reservoir that would do some great recharge. And so what that does for us is that everything that gets recharged in that area flows downstream towards the Boise River and pops up in a drain, and we get to use it.
as irrigation, and that helps with the declining drain flow. So that's the well, underground direction of water, as you can see by the arrows, just heads our way. So and the New York Canal, I always need to remember to say this. So the New York Canal has been receptive to this, although they haven't given us permission to actually use the facilities, which is understandable because there's a lot of things that we need to decide about, maintenance and costs. But they did give us permission to look around their facilities and potential sites. And that, so we did find a couple that look really good, which we'll get into in a minute here. But in order to be able to use irrigation facilities, we're going to have to come up with wheeling fees, which is a fee that is paid to the irrigation district to be able to take on water on the off season, because they need to do maintenance, they need to do projects, they need some compensation. So the Idaho Water Resource Board actually funds wheeling fees in East Idaho, so I don't think it's a huge lift to try to get them to help out with some of this if we can get a system set up. Okay, so this is a good one, the 15 Mile Creek. So this is south of the Boise River, east of Middleton Road, north of Lincoln, US 20, so down on the flat there. This is the two pits that are owned by Nampa Paving, and they've been very receptive to either renting or selling this ground to us. You can see 15 Mile Creek flows between the two ponds, and there are, one is 16 acres, the other is 50 acres. The 16 acre one's already excavated out, it's there and has water in it, and then the 50 acre, they're still working on mining it. But this is a great project for the declining drain flow, because we can take the fluctuations and flow and put the peaks into the pond, hold it, pull it back out when we need it, and put it into the creek so downstream users have their water that they can use. So, and it's not, the plumbing won't be very hard because the creek's right there. We could probably do it all with by gravity and not have to use pumping. The price tag on this is only $2 million, which is pretty good considering the amount of water volume we're going to be able to generate in savings, the 7,500 acre feet. So, like I said, Anderson Dam raise, 30,000 acre feet. We're able to generate 7,500 acre feet with this for only $2 million. So these are the types of things that we can run. We can run the cost of the project and how much acre feet we're going to generate, and then do the ROI on any ideas that you might have for us.
So there's more benefits to doing this than just that. I mean, if you ran the water through the pond instead of just doing your peaks and flows, you could greatly influence the temperature of the Boise River, which is one of the EPA's little pet clubs that should they come around and beat the cities with, because yeah, they want us to refrigerate the water. And I keep saying, run it through a retired gravel pit and your temperature thing is taken care of naturally.
Yeah. Yep.
So you're missing that part, which the next iteration for the city of Greenleaf to go through is refrigerating our dadgum water, and it just absolutely infuriates me. Because it doesn't matter whether I discharge into the drain boiling hot water or water that is at 32.1 degrees, they will never be able to measurably change or read that when it meets the Boise River.
Yes.
Downstream. But yet they're going to impose upon my citizens some arbitrary treatment of the water at our discharge point because it eventually meets the Boise River.
Thank you for your comments. So this is a super good conversation because this is exactly why we're doing the Nampa Water Garden. So we can put some shading around this, and that's, we've done the modeling, right? We're not going to increase the water temperature on with our Nampa Water Garden, even though we're putting it into a holding cell.
Right.
The shading, and they're for most part, most months will be reducing the temperature. So we've got all that documentation, and I'm very much encouraging other public works agencies to follow suit.
Yeah.
Don't build cooling towers.
Right.
Terrible idea.
Yeah.
It's just they're super expensive. They don't last very long. If you're a rural area where you've got land next to you, you can easily build one of these. There's pl- plenty of grant opportunities to do it. The roadmap is just sitting right there for others. So I'm firmly against cooling towers. I think it's a terrible idea. I understand we need to do something to, you know, protect the environment, but let's just do it in a way that doesn't, you know, and they take a ton of power too. Why would you spend that much power to cool water? It's just doesn't make sense. So I'm 100% with you, Chairman.
Their blind rage to do something they engineeringly think is beneficial to the waterways, it's for this commissioner, it's absolutely ludicrous.
Yeah, I know. And so John and I need to go talk to Doug Amick a little more, it sounds like. So we'll get that on the list. Okay.
But I really encourage the use of the reuse of a retired gravel pit. I commend you guys for doing this. This needs to be done multiple places.
Yes, we're excited about it, and like I said, we're partnering with Water District 63. They're very much interested in this, and they have the board's attention. So it's just a matter of getting the maintenance dollars at this point. So we'll keep working towards it.
Okay,
so. And the report, which we've sent over to you with all the details and calculations, and the idea of the report was to come up with a large project, a small project, a mid project, talk to all the agencies, collect ideas on what you might would like to do. So this the last one was a large project on the 15 mile. This is in Nampa. This is an example of a small project. So Lakeview Park. Over by Garrity and 16th. It used to be a lake, actually, a long time ago. Lake Ethel is what it was called. And it was an old impoundment that ranchers and cattle folks had dammed up the water for their animals. It's since gone, but we got historical photos of it, and our parks director really wants to bring the lake back. So this is at Mason Creek. It also has some water quality issues, so we can clean up the water, do a little bit of recharge. This one doesn't have as much acre feet of benefit because it's much smaller. It's more expensive, but you're looking about less than 1,000 acre feet, and then it's probably around 4 or 5 million because of the weirs we need to build. So a little more expensive, but just kind of gives you context, you know, on what there are opportunities to get grants on even these small ones. And then this one is over in Ada County and also City of Boise. We just talked to them this week about it. They were very supportive of this. So that top blue one is called McGurdio Park. So it's that squiggly line is the New York Canal. And then the far eastern road is Cole Road. So it's right below Cole Road and New York Canal over there on the south part of town. And this has been slated for a future park and also part of a development. So this one, I think, is another good one. It's an example of a mid-sized project. We could put three settling ponds, do everything by a gravity, and get about 2,000 acre feet a year of savings on this one. And I think the price, this one had a little bit of earthwork on it, so it was around $4 million-ish or so to build this one, but still doable. And then the last one is down in the corner. It's Pearl Jensen Park, and this one's in the county, so it's similar concept, mid-sized project, but has some decent benefit and a super good location to put it because of the heat map we were talking about. So
right.
Okay, I'm gonna let John speak a little bit about this one. This was his idea, which I think is a super good one. You want to talk about this one, John?
Sure, Chairman, Commissioner John Spencer, Director. Water resources. So this, in the city of Nampa, we have our own pressurized irrigation system, and so we get deliveries from irrigation districts to feed our system. But in the, while we're priming our system in the spring ahead of gaining our deliveries, we use shallow groundwater wells to prime our system because it takes, even with the priming, it takes us about a month to fully pressurize our system. So the thought is, if we could get some of that flood water delivered early, we could use the flood water to prime our system And then when the delivery comes fully, get fully pressurized, then we're reducing the reliance on some of that shallow groundwater and thereby not impacting that shallow groundwater. So that's kind of the idea and the potential there.
How far would you have to pump from the river to get supply your system?
So if we could use, if the irrigation districts would allow us to use their facilities, we would just use that facility. So again, they would have to be an earlier.
Right, earlier turn on for them.
Right.
Yeah. I've always wondered why we send flood water down the river instead of putting it into the empty canals. So is that basically what you're looking at here?
Yes.
Yes.
You know what?
Yep.
And why do we send it down the river and then tell the farmer, oh, we're going to knock your allotment because we just sent it down the river?
Right. It doesn't make sense to us either. That's why we're trying to get this set up in the framework so we can get an agreement to be able to do this. Let's use our water to the maximum extent possible.
Some of it has to do with the original agreements when the dams went in, when we could consume the river flow. So you'd have to get some of those foundational agreements, which is good time to reconsider those foundational agreements now that we have 100 years plus usage of the system. We might know a little bit more than when it was created.
Yes.
And so, but what I want to say is you in the concept in your brain, it works, right? You just fill the canals and they'll take all of this flow and life will be good. The canals are designed for consumption. And if it's before the crops are ready for the farmers to order the water on, you can't put in, say, a number of 1,000 at the beginning and let that 1,000 flow all the way to the end of the canal system. It isn't designed for that. It's designed for consumption along the way. So as it goes through the system, there's less and less capacity to be able to turn that much water in at the beginning. So it isn't a one-to-one type of thing that, oh, we'll just turn on the canal and it'll take all that water. Well, yeah, it would if everybody was ordering water on
it. You have to have somewhere to put it. That's the pond.
And some farmers may not want that field muddy before they plant it. So, you know, it's an interesting concept. But again, we have 100-plus years of consumption. We know a lot more than when those criteria that fence posts were put in at the beginning. And also, it ain't fun to do irrigation water when it's freezing past, you know, October 1st or something like that. Then your facilities may or may not be designed to be able to handle a freeze. So it's complicated, right?
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun, though.
But I love the idea of being able to take that river flow. So river flow is water release that isn't going to be consumed in any constructive manner, and it's going to hit the confluence of the Snake. So that's river flow in the spring. And I think if we can figure out different ways, and especially even if the recharge is a very short cycle, it still would be beneficial, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. You mentioned Hubbard Reservoir. Does Black's Creek Reservoir play into this at all?
Where's that one at?
That one's
up on the freeway to the west as you go into Mountain Home.
Off exit 60.
Oh, yeah. We talked about that one. We'd have to build a pipeline to get water to it from the Boise River. But that's one we can add back to our list to do an ROI.
Where does the water come from for that then?
It comes upstream through, I think it's that's 10 Mile Creek feeds it. So it comes in those mountains up there north of Mountain Home, just water flow from drainage that comes off of it.
So where we took the helicopter ride, when you came up to the highest point, we started coming back in the valley, that would be the beginning of that watershed into that.
Okay. I mean, I can, yeah.
So Micron also pumps water from the Boise River up right below the high bridge on 21 into their facility from the Boise River to do some of their work. So we hadn't approached them yet, but see if they have any redundant pipes or we could use easements or anything, but there's that potential partnership too. So
Great ideas. Great ideas. All right.
So I guess the ask of the commission is if there's somebody that, if you have some ideas or if there's somebody from your staff that we can follow up with to populate other areas besides that one that we pointed out to you that we could go look at that might be beneficial, and we can study them and then you get back with you on what the return on investment is.
Okay. Do you have suggestions?
I don't have any besides that 15 mile, but you know, it seems like when we talk to like land use planners and public works people, they always come up with something. So I'm not sure. Maybe that's our next step with the county is talk to some staff about it.
You know, just because the county is so, county gets a lot of land, but the area south of Nampa becomes into a different watershed going right down into Melba. But for the most part, everything else is somewhat being influenced by this watershed. So.
Right. And I'm glad you brought that up. We are interested in recharging the Boise River area. So if, north of the New York Canal is our focus area.
Yeah. I noticed the area, one of the areas we have the worst trouble with on groundwater is still south of Lake Lowell, between Lake Lowell and the river. And
and that's a different drainage.
It's a different drainage, or no drainage at all.
So
I noticed it was where you put lots of your additional map information in that bottom left corner.
Right.
I'm just saying, you know. You have to put that somewhere, right? Okay.
Yes.
But
very coincidental.
Very coincidental. Put that over in the area we don't want to see.
So what exactly are you looking for?
I'm just looking for if you have a future park plan, for example, where you might be putting parks, we might be able to align some things there with this heat map. And then again, talk to your land use folks, you know, as developments come in, be thinking about opportunities with developers and partnerships in areas that are good spots for open space. So those are the two spots. I don't know, do you have a parks director?
We do.
Mm-hmm. You do? Okay. Who is that?
Nikki Schwend.
Okay.
Both parks are currently either on the Snake River or on the Boise River.
You have one on the Boise River?
It's at the confluence, clear down by Parma.
Oh, okay.
Huh. Technically, I guess you could say it's on the Snake.
Yeah.
But it's that game reserve area park.
Does the county have goals for park space, for future park space? No?
We don't have documented goals. Part of the trouble with having this conversation about future park space is it's on the record and some future investor's already going to say, oh, well, I need to go pick that area up. So.
Sure. Got it.
Right? So sorry that we're dumb, but we're dumb for a reason.
I understand.
Okay.
What's the... What's the plan with like the Wilson Pond area? Is that some sort of joint collaboration between the city and the county?
We should talk about that because that one is the fish and game site. Right?
That's also fish and game.
They've approached us to try to ask us to take it over. John and I need to go look at it a little closer to see if there's a way that we can get some benefit out of it. But the trouble with that concept of taking over something that's existing is it's harder to get grant funding for something that's existing unless we make some improvement to it to make it better on the water quality side of stuff, because that's where the credits and volumetric benefits come up. It has to be new. And so we need to go. That's on our list to go look at.
Well, I would respectfully submit that some of the pits that are going to be retired that are within economic distance of the Boise River could also partner to some extent, depends on the setting, with Fish and Game, making that a multi-use structure.
Okay, that's good.
So I think, I guess my initial encouragement would be if you would contact the DSD director, because I think what I'm hearing you say is we need to have a larger vision, and if we're having larger developers come in and wanting to do projects, then we need to dial this in. Is this a project that could be helped and enhance the neighborhood by partnering up?
Okay, we'll reach out to the director.
Okay.
Who's the director now?
Jay Gibbons.
Yeah. You know?
Not Jay.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. We'll follow up with those folks.
Okay.
Appreciate that. So, any other questions or comments?
I like it.
Good work. I like it.
Thank you. We're excited about it. It's been fun.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think it has both, besides the economic benefits, it has quality of life benefits, and it's a good direction. It's multifaceted.
So I think we've talked to you about our Nampa Water Garden, haven't you? So
yeah.
We're 100% designed. We're working on trying to get the last little bit of easement for our pipeline, and then we have about $3 million of donated funds we need to still come up with, but we're out of the $11 million, so we got quite a ways down the road.
Wow.
Where's this at?
It's on Indian Creek, just right next to the Karcher Interchange, just downstream of it. It's a 20.
Oh yes, yeah.
So, we're going to use that RFP strategy for the volumetric benefits, see if we can get the rest of the funding or potentially even ask the state to help, because as we chatted a little bit yesterday, there's a lot of chatter about emerging contaminants that the public hears about that, you know, these types of projects can be a solution for. So we're also, besides just, you know, doing... helps a little bit with recharge, helps with water quality, and it gives us a way to have an answer for some of these emerging constituents. And so good news is that we've been testing our waters on our reuse system for over 18 months now, and then the PFAS, the contaminants that are being imposed on our drinking water, we are discharging less than that. And we don't even have any in our drinking water. We've been testing our drinking water. There's no PFAS in the drinking water. PFAS gets in our water because it's just part of all the products that our consumers use. It ends up in our system in order to pass through of it. But again, these wetland projects are helpful to have an answer for that for the people that do get concerned about it. Because we're not saying there's none of it. We're not saying that it's not something to look at. We're just saying we're monitoring it and we're developing a solution to take care of it and try to remove whatever we can. And so John and I are also going the next step, and we've got all the media that we want to build into this project. So the zeolite, the biochar, the activated bentonite, and granular carbon, and we're running some water column tests in our lab and just testing for the TSS and phosphorus and see which one works the best. And then so we can direct a mix with our project once we get it put together. So we'll have a lot of good information. The other thing I want to leave you with is that, so we're the first in Idaho to do this reuse project, and we needed a lot of help from others to help get it to the finish line, like I was saying yesterday. And we joined the Reuse Association, which is a Northwest association that's part of the Pacific Clean Water Northwest Association. And they just focus specifically on reuse. And so King County and some of those other counties over there in Washington have done a lot of this already. And so we were able to get some of their technical data. And so they did a whole study on crop up PFAS and medications being uptaken to crops. And so they have a technical study that basically says that if you ate 40,000 pounds of carrots all at once, you'd get one dose of ibuprofen into your system. So it's
Well, I'm safe, all right. But you'd have really good eyesight, right?
Right. And so that's good. So when you're hearing about the, you know, people being concerned about stuff, please contact us, because we want to be a resource for the Valley to make sure that false information does not keep spreading. It's because that's damaging to everybody and all the projects that we're trying to do that are helpful to the community. So I could tell, we've also, there is a little bit of PFAS in the background water just in itself. So we've tested the canal and all of the rivers. It's about 2 parts per trillion on PFAS, and the drinking water standard is 4 parts per trillion. So it's all below. And then what we're discharging is and our reuse is about 3 parts per trillion. So hopefully, like you said, you probably hear a lot from the public as well. So please use Don and I.
Okay.
Yep.
You can do that. Be happy to do that. Cool. Anything else? It's good. Good presentation.
Thanks. Thanks for coming.
Yeah. Thank you.
Let us know if we can help in the future. And
okay. Yeah. We will do.
Use this as a resource. Thank you.
We definitely will.
All right. If we're done,
we
need to adjourn?
Yep.
Let's be adjourned. Thank you.